The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Fabuloso. Just got back from my very first beauty contest. I lost. That spoiler alert.
I mean, who really wants to win a beauty pageant, though, right? Like, am I right about that?
I think that I would. I was never a pageant girl. It's not very, like, popular in the East Coast.
Yeah, I think it's like a Southern thing, right?
It's more like of a Southern thing. Like, they definitely have, like, pageants around here. Like, I remember, like, some, like, teen pageants in high school. Like, certain people did that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would get the flyer in the mail, and then, like, for one second, you'd be like, can I do this? Can I be a teen beauty queen?
And then you're like no.
And then I'm like, no, it's not for me. Like, they're not looking for me. I'm not their demographic.
I'd be out the minute they're like, put Vaseline on your teeth. I'd be like, abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm out of here.
I do love a trick, a tip and a trick, and that was a good tip.
What is the point? To keep lipstick off your teeth?
So that your lips don't stick to your teeth.
Do people's lips normally stick to their teeth?
I don't run into that issue quite often.
Bitch, get some saliva up in there, you know?
I think that the issue is if, like, you're talking a lot, then maybe that can happen. Or I'm sure you're not able to hydrate yourself.
I don't
and
know.
Then maybe you need that.
I think but I have, no, like, a wet weird. Mouth. Like, I don't think I at have that I, issue.
No, at first I thought it was for shiny teeth because, like, you kind of want your teeth to, like, sparkle if you're on it's a pageant. Lightener. But no, they said it was so that your lips don't stick to your teeth.
I've never had that. Listeners, let us know. Do your lips stick to your teeth? I just feel like I have too much saliva for that. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody has their own amount of saliva. And, Jess, we shouldn't judge if you have little or a lot of saliva. That's just like some people have it. Some people don't.
Is this like a hereditary thing? Like some people have like the disconnected earlobes and some people have like wet mouths.
I think that's the case.
I love how we're like 5 minutes into this podcast and it's already like off the rails. Like we haven't even done anything yet.
I know. I don't even know what to do with myself today. Like everything's just like peachy keen, like right? Like can't really complain, but also I'm also spiraling because I'm also a hot mess.
It's great, but I'm spiraling.
Like, I'm fine.
Hey, people, this is what anxiety sounds like. But, it's great. But I'm spiraling.
the stymie is coming through again. She's like a really persistent friend.
Yes, always here. I decided today was like a Thursday, but like honestly, it felt like a Monday to me. Like, phone was ringing off the hook all day. Bitches wouldn't leave me alone. It was a day at work. Yeah. And so I decided that I was going to indulge in a beverage today.
What do you got?
I have Barefoot Makes Hard Seltzer, and I'm indulging in strawberry and guava.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Like, look at this. She's cute. She's tiny.
Oh, she is cute.
She's a little cute can. It's one of those, like, skinny cans. She's petite.
Yeah. I just got some Thai food delivered, so I got myself a Thai iced tea.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yum.
So I don't even know what Thai iced tea is.
I think I've had it once. I think Will got us Thai coffee once.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. But it's like with tea instead of coffee. But I have no idea. It's orange, and I don't know what it is. I just drink it and then hope for the best.
I mean, that's usually what I do with most beverages. Just drink it and hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Not alcoholic.
Yeah. Well,
unless you have something to share on the TV front, I would like to share some of the fabulous feedback that we got from last week's episode.
Oh, I started watching Sharp Objects. We discussed this probably on Boy Meets World.
I
started watching it, and I watched 3 episodes in one night. It's really good. And then I was like, shit, this is so good that I have to read the book. So then I immediately stopped watching and have started the audiobook, which is also very good. Highly recommend if anybody's interested.
How's the audiobook?
Really good. I'm really enjoying it. I'm about like 30% through in just like 2 days. But it's a short book. It's like a 9-hour audiobook or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you also devour audiobooks really
quickly. I do. I usually listen at least like a 1.25 or a 1.5 speed. Yeah. And I listen while I work. Like whistle while I work. Yeah.
You're a very diligent listener.
Yes. So I definitely recommend that if anybody is in the mood for that. I got my audiobook just like my local, like I use Libby, which is an app to get like library books. So I got it that way. And the show is on HBO or HBO Max. I think it's on HBO. Mm-hmm. But I have HBO Max. Mm-hmm. So, but let's get into feedback. I'm excited to hear some feedback.
Yeah. So, I think nobody sent us in snake stories, which I have issues
nobody
with.
Nobody has snake stories. That's not a thing people have.
I want to hear snake stories. So it was more so like general feedback about like the episode itself. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer Carosa, messaged us and said, I can't stand Dawson, but this may be my favorite Dawson episode. Perhaps it's because The Scare is an episode out of time. So I guess she likes it because it doesn't follow like the storyline.
Kind of like stands
and
on its
less
own.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then I think our main feedback were people schooling us, which I appreciate, but telling us because we were very confused as to why in the world, like, where this scary episode came from.
We knew it was, like, an homage, but, like, and yeah, that was as much as we knew.
So, a few people messaged us in, at Cheeky Hobbit, at Dirtbag Kelly, and at Tom Palmer, that the episode was written as an homage to the show's creator, Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream, and I know What You Did Last Summer. And then Cheeky Hoppa says, it makes no sense in the timeline at all and never did. Dawson's Creek has a weird tendency to have scary episodes and she hates them all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really did feel like we talked about that. Like it felt very out of place in terms of like the chronology of the show. Mm-hmm. Which like, I don't mind a one-off scary episode, but I just didn't particularly enjoy that episode, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. So Dirtbag Kelly told us that that the same thing, you know, it's an homage the Scare was acknowledging the directors or the creators like background, which is like awesome.
Yeah. No, good for them. I just not my type of thing. I just don't know that I'm the audience for it, really.
Yeah. And I learned that there's more to come. So
there you go.
There's multiple scary episodes. Can't we'll wait. Like get more. We can't wait.
Well, maybe they'll be iconic, like the Boy Meets World one that we're excited about.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Cheeky Hobbit also said, answers a question that we had last week. Where's Pacey's mom? We still don't know.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers really for anybody who hasn't like watched the show, or at least like if you still want to theorize about Pacey's mom without knowing any concrete answers, skip ahead like 30 seconds.
Yes. Also, yes, Pacey does have a mom. No spoilers, but you won't meet her for quite a while and only ever once. It's a big writing hole in the show, in my Cheeky Hobbit's opinion, which is crazy.
He's like, one of the main characters. Like, you'd think we'd know more about his family situation. I mean, we hear about it again this episode, but not his mom is never mentioned.
Not his mom. Yeah. Not his mom.
Which is weird.
And she does add that we get to know Pacey's dad quite a bit and his various siblings. Apparently, he's the youngest of five kids, but the mom is never part of the story almost ever. That is very weird. Mm-hmm. Very strange. Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know.
Especially because the other three characters, right? Like Joey, Dawson, and Jen, we all know their family situations, and we're around their families a decent amount. Even Jen, like Jen and Graham's, if you want to count that, because her parents aren't local. Like, we're around everybody else's family.
I know. I just wish that I had more of a clue of, like, why this was not important. But you know what?
We'll find out.
If the show says, we'll see. Hey, Sarah, it's not important, then I say, you know, then it's not important. I'll let it go. I'm having a hard time of letting things go today.
I could tell.
Yeah, this is where the rigid tendencies come in.
Yes.
It's like,
loosen up, I can't, you know, do one of these. I'm waggling my arms for anybody who can.
I got to be like a loosey-goosey. Yeah. Loosey-goosey bitch. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Maybe I really did need to spike the
you should have spiked the tea. Yeah. spike that tea.
Twisted Thai tea.
Yes. Shall we get into this week's episode? I don't think we have anything else to talk about, do we?
No.
Okay. Season 1, episode 12, Beauty Contest. One of the more iconic episodes from season 1 in my memory. So, this episode, we have a bunch of different groupings. I'm going to read them off to you and you kind of let me know where you'd like to go. We have Dawson and Joey. Dawson, Joey, Jen, and Pacey, kind of like the four. Joey and Jen, Dawson and Pacey, Dawson and Jen. I have kind of Pacey on his own as well. And then I have like the pageant kind of lumped together, which I feel like maybe we talk about at the end just because like timeline wise it kind of works. It gets a little bit tricky sometimes with these episodes, people.
Oh, boy. Let's start with Dawson and Pacey, I think.
Dawson and Pacey. Great. So this, I guess we were already kind of talking about Pacey's family, so this is kind of a natural segue where we find out that, like, things aren't going well in the Witter household. Pacey's dad is, like, really laying into him about all his shenanigans lately.
Right, which I actually really appreciate the continuity. Like, yeah. I feel like it's very rare for shows to be like, these are the things that I've done in the last few episodes, and this is why, like, I'm kind of like a fuck up, essentially, at least in his father's eyes. So they mentioned failing bio, skipping school to go to Providence, stealing / borrowing the dad's car. Right.
A lot of
obviously
stuff.
We like glossed over the whole Tammy thing. I guess we forgot about Tammy. Like, Tammy doesn't exist anymore in the lexicon of the Creek.
How many Creek weeks has it been since Tammy?
You know what? I think it's been like two Creek months. So eight Creek weeks since Tammy. Maybe about four Creek weeks or five Creek weeks since the Jen Dawson breakup.
Okay.
Maybe. Who knows? But who knows? It could have been, maybe it's been 3 days.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
But they like, it's wild to me how nonchalantly Pacey is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an emancipated minor and get an apartment. Like, just kind
honestly,
of wild.
I think he's been thinking about this since, like, for 5 years.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. And so that's kind of the whole impetus for him wanting to be in the pageant, is because he wants the $5,000 to get an apartment.
Yeah.
And it's, like, Dawson is, I will say, Dawson is a good friend to Pacey in this episode, I think, right? Like, he offers him a place to stay. Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, if you want to stay with us, like, you're more than welcome to crash.
Yeah.
He's hyping up his friend. He is hyping him up. I mean, but we know that, like, it's also, like, self-interest, right? Because he's like, oh, a man entering the pageant is going to be news. And, like, I get to be in charge of that news. And, like, I get notoriety from this, you know?
Yeah, I know. It totally was because he, I don't know how he got this gig, but Dawson got to, like, pretty much be the assistant or the person running the media coverage
yeah.
at the, like, station.
I think it's because, like, his mom works there, and so he had, like, an in. That's my guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he doesn't even have an internship, but I guess he, you know, they know that he has a special interest in media.
They heard all about his scary movie, and they're like, we got to snatch this guy up while he's available.
I'm telling you. So, yeah, so this is the penultimate episode of season one, right?
Yeah.
One more episode left. I'm telling you, if they head off to Boston in the next episode for the movie, I'm literally going to flip. But because it's like by film that was so important to me in the first like four episodes, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, so he encourages Pacey to fight the good fight for all white men in America.
So ridiculous. And oh, we're going to fix sexism by doing, like, I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, Pacey likes, number one, Pacey likes being, like, you know, the fun guy. And mm-hmm. he thinks that this is going to piss his dad off. So he decides to sign up or try to sign up for the Miss Windjammer contest.
Yeah.
And, you know, he fought with the judges. He said, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says I can't do this. And there's nothing in your rule book that says that I can't do this. Right. So Pacey got to join, much to the yacht club's dismay.
Yeah. Well, I love the scene, too, where he's with, like, Mitch and Dawson, like, trying to practice, like, a talent for it. And he's singing and it's awful. Truly,
really,
awful.
You thought that it was bad?
It was very bad. Yeah,
he was singing "New York, New York." I thought it was pretty.
It
good.
It was not good. And, like,
I don't know,
this scene too. I don't know. I just think, like, good. It's not his talent. Like, it's fine. He's not breaking glass, but, like, mm-hmm. if that's your talent, like, you should at least be, like, better than average at it.
Right. So then, yeah,
he should have done, like, stand-up comedy. Like, that's what he's good at.
Yeah, and I think that he eventually kind of got there his, you know, his interpretation of whatever.
What would your talent be later. If you were at, like, a pageant?
Oh, my gosh. I, like, have no talent. I don't know.
I don't have no talent. You just start a podcast on the stage.
That's, I mean, quite literally, I've spent, like, a lot of my life being like, I mean, sorry to be a sad sack, but, like, not feeling like I wasn't good at anything because I wasn't the best at anything.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, even if you think that you're pretty good at something, there's always somebody that's better than you.
Well, so you could maybe do like a special telling of some type of, like, royals story. You know a ton about the royals.
I think that something with the spoken word could could be good. Not like a poetry and I don't know. I mean, what about you? I have zero talent. I don't know, Jessica.
What would I do? I don't know.
Sing?
I could sing, I guess. I don't know that I'm, like, talented enough at singing to do something like that on a stage. Maybe.
Neither of us play instruments.
I used to play guitar and clarinet. I don't know. That would probably be it. I don't know that I'd have a ton of tricks.
Well, then we're both flops.
We are flops. I would never enter a beauty pageant.
Maybe what I would do is I would have, like, a pre-built set, and it's a blank room. It's like a set, like a three-wall set, and the fourth wall is open to the audience. Then I would have a pile of, like, furnishings and accessories off to the side.
Decorate
and
the
then
room.
I would put like a 3-minute time limit, and I would quickly decorate the
room. This is like a Sims thing. Yeah, you would like Sims it up.
Oh, can I just play The Sims for my talent?
I'm an influencer for my talent. Watch me play my video game.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, that's the modern day. You just stream on Twitch.
Truly. That's it. Yeah.
There we go.
I appreciate
we figured
this.
It out.
Yes.
At least we can get to something.
Yes.
So later,
so when they're in that same scene when he's practicing his talents, like him and Dawson have a chat, and this makes a lot more sense if it comes right after the episode. Yeah. Like if we skip over the scary episode and it comes right after that episode before it, because Dawson asks Pacey if he's talked to Joey lately, and he says that he thinks that Joey is avoiding him, and like this makes so much more sense.
It really does. I feel a lot better. I felt a lot of, like, unrest at the last episode in terms of timeline and continuity. And everything makes more sense when we think of that was the true episode 10. The carnival was the true episode 11. And this is the true episode 12.
Absolutely.
Like I feel much better, you know, feel like living that way.
Yeah. And this is when we get into how many times are we going to have this scene where Dawson's like, I never thought of Joey romantically. And Pacey's like, dude, bro, like, stop it. Stop it.
I mean, I'm surprised that Pacey still enables this conversation. And it's just not like, you know, we've had this talk like six times. I'm over it. But yeah, like Dawson just sees Joey as a sister.
Yeah.
And nothing more.
Give me a break.
And you know, that's what Dawson is like, you know, claiming. And ultimately, you know, Pacey calls him out and says, so you don't want her, but you don't want anybody else to have her. And yes, that is a great follow-up to episode 10.
Yeah, that's the true tea. That's what it is. And it's obnoxious and it's annoying. And we also have a tiny scene as well. When, like, after Dawson is, like, insulting Jen with backhanded compliments when they're talking about the beauty pageant, where PC is like, geez, I didn't realize, like, that's your new scheme to get Jen back. It's just, like, insult her. Maybe you should just get over it.
Which was kind of Pacey's original advice.
It really was, Pacey. You gave him this advice.
Did you forget? So it's like Dawson tried everything else, and then he ultimately comes back to Pacey's advice, and then Pacey's like, that's some dumb advice.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, you gave that advice to me.
No, he completely, like, forgot that he was the one who gave Dawson that advice for sure.
And then Dawson's like, winning her back is like my new bizarre hobby. And I would say, you know, take up solitaire.
Get a fucking hobby, bro. Like, what about movie making? Whatever happened to your ET doll? Come on.
Go back to movie making. Yes. It may have looked like a suck ass movie, but give it another go.
Yeah, exactly. I think next I would like to, if you'll indulge me, go to Joey and Jen. I think that's a good next.
That sounds good. Okay. Thank you.
I really enjoyed the Joey Jen aspect in this episode because, like, Jen is finally like, listen, can we be friends now? Like, I'm not dating Dawson. You're not dating Dawson. Like, why can't we just be friends? And Joey's like super hesitant about it because I just don't think like Jen even says it later. Like, neither one of them are like girls who have friends that are other girls.
Yeah, which I really appreciated that conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that is something very, like, self-aware that they both realize that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Jen essentially says in that conversation, like, don't you feel like you're missing out on, like, a big aspect of life, having a girlfriend, like, somebody that you can just, like, you know, like, be a friend on
gossip and chat
.
And there's no pressure, there's not going to be sexual tension, like, we could just be friends. And I think Joey finally is like, you know what, like, yeah, like, why not, let's give it a try. But she, like, Joey is such a skeptic. Like, anything that Jen says, I feel like Joey's, like, immediately, like, defensive of, or, like, immediately thinks that Jen has this, like, ulterior motive. Like, why are you helping me? Like, what is it? What's in this for you? You know?
Right. Yeah. Especially after Joey's been, like, such a bee to her.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jen just needs a friend. Like, she needs somebody that she can just, like, chill with. Yeah. And, you know, I think that, and then, like, the best part of this whole thing was that Joey asked the question that we've been wondering.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes, we get an answer to our question.
Yeah. So she's like, why are you hanging out? Why do you want to hang out with me instead of, like, the popular pep squad girls? Right. And, like, she essentially says, like, you know, hanging out with me is going to, like, you know, really, really, like, ruin your, like, social
capital Rector or reputation scale. Or yeah. whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Because she's not a popular girl. And Jen answers it's because the same reason why, you know, like, Joey doesn't, because they're a bunch of, like,
airheads idiots. Or something. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, like, Jen just thinks that all the other girls are just, like, not...
Like, that's painting quite a broad brush across every the entire single student
teenager,
body.
Yeah, every single teenager in Capeside is, like, an airhead.
Like, we're not saying you have to hang out with just the cheerleaders, Jen, but, like, find somebody out of this core four, out of the creepy creeks or the creepy creakers, mm-hmm. whatever we called them, the creek creeps. Mm-hmm.
Creep creeks,
creek,
yeah.
The creek creeps. We picked creeps. The worst name to try to repeat, honestly.
We're sticking to it,
we're
though.
We're going to. We're dedicated now. But find somebody else other than the creek creeps to hang out with. And
it seems impossible.
And here's the thing. So I want to get your opinions because we're not to Jen and Dawson yet. But I'd like to know your thoughts on, like, did Jen, like, cross a line here, right? So after her and Joey, like, say they're going to be friends, and I'm going to help mm-hmm. you with this pageant, and we're going to help you get the money so you don't have to worry about a scholarship for college and blah, 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 blah. Does she cross a line by then, like, approaching Dawson to try to get back together without having a conversation with Joey, knowing Joey has feelings for Dawson? I'm just...
You know, I honestly, I didn't think about that at all. I didn't think about it in the sense of, like, you just made this, like, alliance with Joey and now you're, like, backing out. I didn't think about that.
Is it within girl code? Here's the thing, like, this is a new friendship, but because it's a new friendship, I think it's even more delicate and, like, you I think that might be a bit of a not I don't want to say sinister because I don't think it's that calculated, but is there anything to Jen seeing Dawson be interested in somebody else and therefore then being interested back in Dawson? Like, she didn't give an F about Dawson. She wasn't attracted to Dawson. And suddenly Dawson glances in Joey's direction and she goes running back to Dawson wanting to get back together.
Yeah. Well, I do want to address this a little bit more later, but I honestly didn't think of it in the sense of how it would affect Joey, which is kind of surprising since I'm, like, the biggest Joey stan ever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, until Joey says, like, until Joey's, like, I want to pursue things with Dawson, if you're, like, not into... But then, like, she already knows. It's tricky.
Like, here's the thing. Like, Jen knows that Joey's into Dawson. She's admitted it. Like, she's basically said, I'm in love with Dawson. Like, even if she hasn't said those words, like, she's admitted it on multiple occasions, mainly in that detention episode that they had that whole conversation. So, like, to me, if I make a new friend and my friend, it's kind of confusing because my friend's ex is the guy I like. But... You broke up with him. She ended things with him. So to me, it's a little bit skeevy for then her to, like, approach the guy without telling, at least telling me. Like, don't make me look like a fool.
Okay. So, yeah, like, maybe if Jen is, like, but then they didn't really have time because all of this happened, like, during the pageant.
Okay, but then wait a day before you go up to Dawson. To me.
I have, like, other issues with Jen that is not related to Joey.
Okay, we'll go there next, but just one other thing before we move. I guess let's go there because actually what I'm going to say kind of relates. Are we going to Dawson and Jen next?
I guess so.
Or do you want to talk pageant? So. Do you want to talk pageant first? Because that's like the Dawson and Jen is mainly the end of the night.
Okay. I mean, there's so many directions to go. This is like a big episode, guys.
It's
like,
a lot. It's a lot.
To be honest with you. It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm like,
everybody freak out.
I'm freaking out, man. I kind of want to save the Joey stuff to last.
Well, Joey and Dawson have to be last. Absolutely.
Okay. That's all I care about.
Well, the pageant, by saying the pageant, I just mean
pageant.
The actual pageant, not everything pageant that happens after.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, let's go to the pageant, I guess. Okay. We didn't even say, like, I just want to say, like, once again, like, I really appreciate, like, them, like, going all in on why Joey would be interested in the pageant. Because if you don't, yes. If you remember from last week, you asked me what I thought this episode was about, and I was pretty kind of close, like, to be honest with
you. Yep, you were.
So I said I thought Jen was going to be in the pageant, and then maybe Joey would join the pageant to make money for college. So that was like my thing. Jen was a pageant girl at one point in time.
Yep.
Which is not surprising. And Joey did join the pageant to try to make money, a scholarship for college. So I just want to say, like, I appreciate the show being like, you know, this is a constant thing with like Joey needing to keep chasing like the ability, like different opportunities, mm-hmm. To better herself,
right?
So, and this is like her main motivation is right. To better herself, get out of Cape Side, like give herself more opportunities, right. Because she knows that if she doesn't make this happen for herself, it's not happening, and she's gonna be stuck in Cape Side working at the Crab Shack right. For like the rest of her life,
right? And it's not even just that she like wants, because we didn't really know the extent to which Joey wants to leave town, right? Like, we knew she wanted to go out of Cape Side for college, but we weren't mm-hmm. we weren't aware that like she has very large aspirations. Like, she wants to like go overseas, she wants to travel a lot, and so she's gonna need money to do that and a scholarship to do that.
Yeah.
And so this is,
which I love that for her.
Yeah.
I love that Joey has big dreams.
Yes.
And she has her own dreams that have nothing to do with Dawson.
Yeah.
And have nothing to do with Dawson's dreams.
It really rounds her out as a character, because up until more recently, what we knew about Joey was, okay, she has a dead mom. She has a sister who's pregnant with her boyfriend, and they're poor. And like, and she mm-hmm. she wants out of Cape Side, and she's obsessed with Dawson. Like, we didn't really know that she has huge dreams that have nothing to do with Dawson, which when I'm looking at like female characters on a show, I hate when it's literally all they talk about is like the men on mm-hmm. the show. There's nothing more frustrating than a show where like literally all the women's conversations revolve around men. And so I really appreciate yes. that now we're getting, I mean, Jen's still kind of due, but Joey, at least we're now seeing in like a much, you know, rounded out way. She's a much more three-dimensional character now.
But we've regressed a lot with Jen. In the first half of the season, it wasn't, Jen's conversations were not very revolved around Dawson. I don't think.
No, I mean, they were more, she was more mysterious, but like she also,
mysterious.
She was much more kind, like, and she's still kind to Joey. I don't mean to paint her in a negative light, but like,
yeah.
She's still kind to Joey and wants to be friendly to Joey, but like, it's frustrating, and we'll get there, to watch her in the Dawson stuff. Like, to me, it's very frustrating to watch that.
Me too. It really is. It really, really is.
But let's go to the pageant next, because we'll get to then, because then we'll kind of have to go towards the Dawson and Jen and the right. Dawson and Joey stuff.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So pageant time. So we do have this pre-interview, right?
Right.
Well, first we have an orientation.
Right. And this is when this whole side story with Pacey and this girl, Hannah, like,
it's very strange.
Very weird, and kind of just came out of like nowhere. Like, they love,
we really don't care.
They love pairing Pacey up with these random people who don't mean anything just to like give him a storyline, because he's not in the love triangle, which, to be honest, he kind of is, but not in this episode.
I mean, no, not really. So, and like, he's like kind of egging everybody on.
Did we care at all about Pacey and Hannah? I know I didn't.
No, I mean, it seems as though they kind of have a past. Like, they were supposed to go on a date in the sixth grade.
Who gives a fuck about that? No one cares.
I don't care about the sixth grade. This girl, Hannah, goes off to boarding school. So, you know, they meet up again at this orientation. And, like, you know, Pacey's kind of like holding court, like making all the girls laugh, like being his charming self. Mm-hmm. They like say it's like the 35th anniversary of this pageant and they're going to definitely revise the rules for next year.
Right. It just like the whole time that this Hannah girl kept showing up, I thought there was going to be a larger storyline with her because mm-hmm. like she seemed like a bigger deal when she first like arrived. And then it kind of just went nowhere. Like they kind of just connect on being the black sheep of their family and that's
exactly it. Which I did like. I thought that was kind of interesting, but if we're never gonna see Hannah again, then I honestly don't give a shit.
I couldn't tell you. She might show back up, but I don't think so. Like I don't fucking remember her. So
yeah, ultimately like Hannah is like a big bitch because like all of her siblings are 10 times more successful than her, but also she's 16, so what is she supposed to do?
Yeah, like who, you know what I mean? Like it's like oh, rich people problems, like give me a fucking break. Like I don't care. I don't know. First world problems. She just annoyed me. It was like kind of pointless to me, that whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dawson is somehow got the job of doing pre-interviews. Mm-hmm. And we see like some of the other contestants. There's some like really vapid girls that say like really like weird, inappropriate things.
Yeah,
and we have like a good candidate that I did see Roberta Crump in the beginning in my first watch and said, oh, like she doesn't sound that bad compared to like all these other people.
Yeah. And then she ends up winning. Yeah.
She ends up winning. So we then get a Dawson and Joey pre-interview. And this is like super weird because I don't know if this goes more towards like the Dawson Joey stuff, but this kind of just is backs up like our conversation before of like, you know, Joey having bigger dreams, but she's also in this pre-interview talking like directly to Dawson about like a bunch of stuff.
And you can tell she's like uncomfortable and she's just like, oh, Dawson's here. Like, I don't want to do this with him. And it's wild to me that they haven't had a conversation before that has like hinted at Joey wanting out of Cape Side and wanting to like do something with her life. Like, this just goes to show, honestly, to me, how like self-centered Dawson is, that like she knows all about his aspirations to be a filmmaker, which, newsflash, Dawson, I'm sure you're gonna have to move out of fucking Cape Side to do that. Like, you're gonna have to go to either LA or New York City. Those are the fucking places to be. And it's wild to me that they've never had a conversation about what Joey wants to do with her future, right?
Yep. And you're exactly right. It exactly has to do with the fact that Dawson doesn't ask her anything about her.
Self-centered. Like, it's very obvious mm-hmm. to me that he just goes on and on and on about his film stuff, and she's just kind of, like, he treats her like a groupie almost.
Oh my god, yeah. And at this point I think that they're like not talking, right? Like because like when Joey told Dawson that she was signing up for this pageant, he basically like mocked her.
I think she took that a little bit too hard, in my opinion. But it's obviously a sensitive topic for her. So like,
yeah,
I think she overreacted like ever so slightly, but I think it's tough for her. So I don't mm-hmm. know.
So yeah, this was a weird one. And then finally we get to the pageant.
Yeah.
You know, Jen is doing Joey's makeup. Joey's afraid that people are going to laugh at her.
Yeah.
And then like Dawson is helping Pacey get ready. Yeah. Like Pacey's like thrown in the closet. Like he's not allowed to be in the dressing room, of course. Yeah.
And then Pacey, I love the scene of Pacey's talent because he finds out that like no one is taking him seriously. So there's no shot he'll ever win, which he really did think there was a shot he was going to win. And so once he finds that out, he goes up on stage and he quotes Braveheart, I think, where he's like, you may take my life, but you'll never take my freedom. And he like has like the face paint on.
He's like, who are you to judge me?
Yeah.
The judges.
Yeah. He was, I love the scene with PC. I thought his accent was on point. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought this was really great. This was a Braveheart-inspired dramatic interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that, like, you know, the audience thought he was funny.
Yeah.
I don't think the judges liked it so much. Like,
no, only Dawson's mom. She was the only one who was into it.
Dawson's mom is, like, everyone's biggest stan.
She's like, oh, so, I'm so bored, but you're keeping me entertained.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were eating Pacey up in the interview section.
Yes.
Like the entire audience was loving him during the interview section.
Yes.
Like, he was being funny and witty and charming. And all the above. Like, his answers, I think, were pretty good, but they had, like, his sense of humor
snark
to them.
And stuff.
Like,
yeah.
His snark. It wasn't taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
And then his evening wear, he was really, like, being a ham and, like, eating up the stage. Yeah. And his, like, tuxedo, and he was doing his spins.
He did, like, the thing is, like, they can joke and stuff, but he was taking it seriously. Like, he was fulfilling all of the requirements. So, even though we know the judges were never going to award him
prize
or whatever.
No, because, and it's, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, like, I understand the point, like, what Dawson was saying in the beginning, like, so-and-so successfully sued.
Oh, yeah.
For wanting to play football with, like, men. And a part of me, you know, I respect the fact that Pacey was like, you know what, like, screw gender norms.
Absolutely.
Like, but a part of me is like, you know, I don't know.
Well, they're like, just like fancy pants, like stuck up people. Like, they're
this
not.
This is not the people. This is not the people. Like, the
they're conservative.
Yacht club members are not your audience.
Yeah. But we need to talk about Joey in this pageant because she is obvi the star.
She's the star. I mean, some would say that, like, Roberta Crump is the star, but
we don't give a fuck about Roberta, so.
Okay, so let's take it beat by beat. Her evening wear, stunning, gorgeous.
And this is,
like, she,
yeah, and this is when we
so
see.
So elegant.
Yes, yes. Backless, like, ooh, all back for days, bitch. Mm-hmm. And we see, like, this is when we see Dawson kind of, like, I don't know, opening his fucking eyes for the first time in his life and being like, whoa, Joey's actually gorgeous. Like, I'm sorry. She needs to fucking put makeup on for you to notice that, dude. Like, give me a break.
I know. I was really annoyed with this. And it's almost like Dawson saw Joey for the first time. And even, like, Pacey brings it up to Jen.
Oh, this is,
like,
my, yeah, this is my sassy saying. So I can say it.
So then we'll save that. But I just think that, like, this is when I started, like, getting a really sour taste in my mouth. Like, I was loving this episode. Like, I loved, like, every part of it. But, like, at this point, I was starting to feel, like, an ick factor, you know?
With who specifically? Just, like, Dawson?
With Dawson.
Okay, just double
check. With Dawson.
Yeah.
And it ultimately comes to a head.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, she looked, like, so beautiful. Her talent competition is. Are we ready to talk about this?
I'm ready, and I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna agree here. I'm kind of nervous. I don't know if we're going to agree.
Let's set the stage.
Okay.
So, Joey sings "On My Own" from Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, like, this is probably one of, like, the biggest ballads from this show. Have you ever seen Les Mis?
Mm-mm.
So I saw Les Mis. Obviously, I saw the movie. Obviously, I've seen the play, like, on Broadway. So this song is sung by Eponine. I think I'm pronouncing the right. So I'm sorry if I'm not. And essentially, she is in love. It's a very similar situation. She's in love with a friend, Marius. But Marius is in love with Cosette,
oh, okay.
And not her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
And she sings the song about unrequited love about Marius. And it's like, it's a big thing. It's probably like, you know, if you want, like, a song, if you're an actor and you want a song, this is, like, the song.
Okay, this is, like,
it's
a very popular, like, song that people mm-hmm. sing for, like, I don't know, tryouts or whatever.
Tryouts, exactly.
Okay.
Like, Rachel Berry sang this song in Glee. Like, this is, like, the song.
Okay.
So it makes a lot of sense that Joey sings the song.
Yeah.
Like, it makes so much sense because the context matches up.
Yes.
This was painful.
Okay, you mean her actually singing it?
When I was watching this, I'm like, is this meant to be good?
Okay, thank you. Yes, here's the thing, people. This is actually Katie Holmes singing this, okay?
Right, I could tell.
Me too. She sounds like she's, like, 11. Like, it's very, immature sounding. Mm-hmm. So like if I was at like a talent competition for children and there was like a 10-year-old and they sang this, I'd be impressed, right? Because this is a 10-year-old singing it. But Joey, who is supposed to be like 15, 16, like to me, they made it seem like, oh my God, I'm crying, I'm sobbing, it's so beautiful. And I was like, did anybody hear this to Katie? Like, I didn't.
Who did this to Katie?
It went on for far too fucking long.
She's like, 2.5
fucking minutes of this. Like, are we done yet?
Okay, like, I want to know, who did this to my girl Katie Holmes? I don't think that she deserved this.
It was a bad, like, it wasn't good. It was
obviously ugh. Obviously they wanted her to sing, and then she got put into this position where she had to sing this, like,
right.
You know, it's not like it's not Phantom, it's not operatic, but this is a big ballad. Like, this is like a big song. It's for like telling, a little voice.
Yes, it is similar to like giving her a Beyonce song or like an Adele song or like mm-hmm. a Christina Aguilera song. Like, you can't just give somebody with a small voice a big song because she can't yes. fill it up like in the way yes. that
and
she needs
I
to.
Think that it was meant to be really good. And
it
I
was
think
supposed
like the,
to. That was the way that the people on the show reacted.
Yeah, and I think like the best thing about, I think it's, if Katie had a good voice, I think that this would have been really, really powerful.
But why didn't they just give her, like, why didn't they have somebody
because the
do
context
it?
Of the song is perfect.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying,
it's the perfect song for an imperfect voice.
But that's
and
what I'm
I feel bad. It's not her
but
fault.
But have
she's
a voiceover.
Not,
like, have a person who sings do it.
Oh,
they
I
do
don't
that
know.
All
Maybe
the
that's
time in television.
Do you think that she thought that she was doing a beautiful job with this? Like, do you think that they thought that this was good?
I think, like, maybe they pushed her into it. They're like, oh, you can sing, right? And she's like, I guess so. And then they were like, here you go.
She's like, okay, so this is what she did. She is the type of person on a resume that says, like, I could, like, do Excel and I'm proficient in, like, all these things.
Yes, yes.
Or, like, an actor. I can horseback
I speak Spanish,
ride.
Which
and
means
then you get
that,
put in a Western.
Yes, yes.
And then you're fucked.
Yeah, I speak Spanish, and but it, I really, like, I'm fluent in Spanish, but what that means is I took it in 6th and 7th grade, and that was it.
Exactly. Yeah. So then they're like, oh, yeah, Katie, like, it says right here on your resume and on your headshot that you're proficient in singing and that you're a soprano. So, like, you know, go sing. Yeah. You're good. I'm not sitting here making fun of
We're
Katie
not trying to be, like, shady. We're just trying to say, like, her singing and the reaction to her singing did not mesh. They did not align together. And so it was, like, very concerning to me, especially with how long that scene went on.
Me.
Like, that scene went on far, far too long. And that whole scene is supposed to be, like, Jen and Dawson watching Joey. And, like, Dawson's eyes are just, like, fucking glitters and sparkles and fucking unicorn farts. Like, oh, my God.
Dawson's
so
boner was the size of, like, the freaking Empire State Building for this. And
literally,
I mean,
like,
for
oh,
me,
wow.
I would be like, yeah, I would be like, ooh,
like,
Joey
ooh,
girl.
Give her some auto-tune. Yeah. It was just not great.
I just wanted more support from the direction team.
Yeah.
For this.
But here's the thing.
They set her up.
The song wasn't good. However, I will say that,
no,
like,
the song itself was
no,
good. It was the
I'm
right
sorry.
Song.
Yes, but the voice was not great.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But her answer to, like, what she would tell today's youth was very good.
Oh, yeah.
She says,
okay. Interview.
Yes. Yeah, so you'll come across people who think they're better than you are. Strength of character matters. Don't sell those things. Don't sell out. And this is right after she overhears two of the other contestants basically being like, oh, I bet she told the judges her sob story about her dead mom and her deadbeat dad and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the way, I'm sorry, but that bitch, the way that she said, oh, don't you know that her sister had an illegitimate child with her black boyfriend?
I mean, Hannah's being a freaking bitch in this entire thing. Yeah. Like, freaking psychopath. Like, you don't have to be that insecure.
She's awful.
And, you know, Dawson sees that Joey has overheard this. And Dawson was being very nice and being like, you know, don't listen to them. Yeah. You're like, you know, I'm so proud of you. Like, you really came out of your shell. Like, I know it was hard for you. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, like, I mean, I thought this was a great answer to this question. Yeah. I think that it she definitely got points for this.
100%.
Because 100%. Ultimately, when we come to a winner, Hannah got third place, second runner up. Mm-hmm. Two tickets to the Rialto. She's pretty pressed, but that's what she deserves.
Yeah.
First runner-up and the winner of a free day of beauty at Betty's Hair Barn is Joey. So Joey got second place. Like, she did not win the 5K, which is, you know, it's like, it's upsetting. Can because I... the reason why she wants the money.
Go ahead, sorry.
What was that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, just the reason why, like, she needed the money. But, you know, I respect the fact that she didn't win.
Who the fuck goes to a place advertised as the Hair Barn to get their hair cut? Literally never would I step foot in a place that's called the Hair Barn to get my hair cut. Never.
Yeah, I don't go to the Hair Barn. My salon, I love my salon. it's not called the Hair Barn.
Who would go to a place with the barn in the name to get their hair cut? Nobody.
Would you go to a ski barn where that sells ski equipment?
I would never fucking buy ski equipment. I'm sorry. Do I look like somebody who skis? This was actually a thing that I remember because I work. So my, for no, those who don't know, the company for which I work is located in Vermont. And a lot of Vermont people ski and they love the snow. And that's always a thing that they like ask people when they start. Oh, do you ski? And I'm like, do I look like I ski? No, I don't ski.
You know what I would say? I would say yes and put that on my resume so I can get the job.
No, I think I had the job at that point, but it was like, no, I don't ski. I don't have a fucking death wish. Like, absolutely, I don't ski. I didn't come from money. Like, in my world, when I was a kid, only the rich kids got to ski. So, like, I certainly wasn't one of those kids. But, yeah. The Hair Barn is a no-go from me. Thank you very much. But...
And honestly, it's the worst possible prize that Joey could have
Joey
won.
Yeah, Joey doesn't give a fuck about her hair.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't care.
No.
She doesn't care. That's a wasted gift. I mean, Joey might have even preferred going to the... having two tickets to the Rialto.
Yeah, she definitely would have. Yeah. But yeah, Roberta ends up winning, which, I mean, of all the people to win, like, that's fine. We're happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, she had a 4.0. She wanted to go to the Peace Corps. So she deserves to take it home. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to bounce to, like, Dawson and Jen and then Dawson and Joey?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
So, like, during the pageant, Dawson is, like, complimenting Jen on Joey. And, like, Jen is about to say that she misses Dawson, but Joey, like, starts singing and she, like, doesn't get the chance.
Why, Joey? Why, Jen? Like, why are you doing this?
And then, like, you can tell to me this is, like, the act of a desperate woman when she, like, approaches Dawson, like, after the pageant, like towards the end of the episode, and she's just like, oh, you know, I didn't give our relationship much of a chance. I want another chance. And you could tell she's doing this because she's like, oh shit, if I don't like sink my claws into him now, he's gonna get together with Joey.
Okay, so like, why? Okay, so Jen girl, you were so clear-headed when you broke up with Dawson. You said, I need to be alone. I never had, like, a Saturday night to myself. I never got to date around. Like, I've always been to boyfriend. Why did you do this? Like, why? Yeah. Like, you were so good. You were literally my second favorite character in the beginning of this season. Yeah. And I loved you. I loved... that you're always speaking facts. I loved how you were telling Dawson no at certain points and to slow down.
Yep.
And you were taking control of the situation and you were telling Graham to like fuck off. Like, you know, but why? Is it just because you saw Dawson interested in Joey? Is that really it? Like, is it?
I think that has to be it. Like, to me,
I expect better from you, Jen. Like, come on.
Here's the thing.
Come on. You're supposed to be our one savior in this whole fucking thing.
Sarah, to me, Jen's actions in this episode were, like, reminding me of, like, two memes. The, what is you doing, BB? Like, that one. And also,
what is you doing,
BB? What is you doing, BB? And also, the second one she reminds me of is the Tyra Banks of, like, we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Oh, my God,
yes.
Like, I just, I don't understand
I'm upset.
Her actions. Like, to me, it just comes
I'm
off
upset
as.
Upset with her.
It really is like jealousy to me. That's what it reads as. And if that's the case, it's very unfortunate because to me, early season one Jen is very like she's not like jealous at all. She's very self-confident.
No.
She has self-assurance.
Yes.
She doesn't give a shit that Joey and Dawson are like BFFs and that Joey obviously has a thing for Dawson. Like she's so just like confident in their relationship that it doesn't even bother her. In fact, she goes out of her way to be nice to Joey. But here we have her mm-hmm. all of a sudden Dawson has eyes for Joey and immediately she's like, oh shit, I shouldn't have broken up with him. Why though? Why, Jen?
Okay. And I'm even going to say this and I hate to say this. It's not fair for Dawson because you're confusing him. You say no, and then you say that you want to try, and it's not fair.
And this has been
you. Know what?
We're guesstimating. You say like 5 creek weeks.
I say it's about a month.
Well, let's say she. So we had the weeks. First time it was like 2 creek weeks out.
Yeah,
and then mm-hmm. we've had like Halloween and whatnot since then. Yeah, I say it's been at least a month, if not more. And here's the thing: Dawson resists. But he has not yet met the Charlotte York rules of the 2.5 months, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. So Dawson obviously turns her down because, I mean, here's the thing. We're going to shit on Dawson because he sucks, especially with the Joey stuff. We're going to chat about that in a second. But good on Dawson for not immediately hopping back with Jen when he knows he has unresolved feelings for Joey, right? Like, we'll commend him for that because we're about to rip him to shreds, I'm sure.
In this situation, I'm more upset. In this particular situation,
mm-hmm.
I'm really upset with Jen because I just think it's not fair.
On any level. It's not a good look for her to, like, mess with Dawson's head. It's not a good look for her to – and it's hard to kind of go behind Joey's back, in my opinion, to at least not give her the heads up when you're attempting to form a friendship with somebody. If they're not even friends, who gives a fuck? But she's the one.
Right.
She's the one who keeps going to Joey and saying, why aren't we friends? Let's be friends. We could be friends. Like, she is the initiator.
Yeah, and then I do want to know, so, like, what happens if, you know, Dawson says, because he's a moron, like,
says,
you know what? Like, I do want to retry things with you again. Then what is Jen supposed to do? Go back to Joey and be like, you know what? Just kidding. Like, you know, I want to be with Dawson.
Yeah, remember that guy that was between us? Oh, by the way, he's back between us because I'm with him again. It's just a bad look.
I know, and
look.
especially if, like, Dawson and Joey had their conversation. And then next thing you know, the next day, like, Dawson and Jen are holding hands at school. Like, how fucked up would that be?
And here's the thing. Like, this is such a reversal of who Jen was as a character in the beginning of the season, because even though she even said herself she's not somebody who's had a ton of like girlfriends or like best friends or anything like that, she was being a very good friend in the beginning of the season. She was going out of her way to be friends with Joey even when Joey was a complete dick to her, and now we're in the situation where she's like being just so cagey and like doing stuff that is just so out of character for her. It's extremely frustrating to watch when you expect more from Jen. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I hold, and we held very high standards to Jen. And we were like, at times we were like, you know what? Like, it's not fair how high standards we hold for Jen because she's so young.
Yeah, but she's just disappointing us now.
The words that we said was that she's so emotionally mature that we forget that she's only 15. I remember saying that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty upset with Jen. I don't know why she did this. Like, I know it makes sense that she did it because of jealousy, but it's just like,
it's just not like
I don't
her.
Want to believe that that's what it was.
Because she was so self-assured earlier in this season, it's very discouraging and very annoying. But let's shift our frustrations to Mr. Dawson Leary, because I'm sure we have words for him and his his situation. Well, let's set the scene of post-pageant conversation with Joey.
Okay, yeah, this was making me very nervous in this scene.
Did you think, going into the scene, did you think they were going to get together?
Yeah, okay. I did. And like it just like kept getting worse and worse, this conversation.
Them holding hands for like 5 seconds cracked me up. They literally, Jen sees them. They hold hands, like, and I'm talking not like kindergarten style where you cup together. It was fingers laced hand holding.
Yeah.
And they move 5 feet to a bench, stop holding hands, and sit
stop
down.
Stop holding hands. Yeah. But then that's enough time for Jen to see them have like a mental breakdown about it. First Dawson says for the first time in his life Joey left him speechless, and I was like, ugh. And then he's like, he gives his jacket to her, and then, like, you know, Dawson's like, you know, I love how you came out of your shell, like you found a new confidence, like you're transformed into like this beautiful version of yourself, Joey. And like, with everything, every single sentence, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, oh no, like, is this gonna end up with them kissing? Like, this is so like problematic, like, and like everything was so cringy, and I was like, I couldn't tell, like, I'm like,
you don't know how she's gonna react.
She's totally eating this up.
Yeah, like, because the thing is like, when you, at first glance, these are compliments, right? At first glance, these are like, oh my gosh, you came out of your shell and you're confident and you were beautiful, and they seem like compliments. The reality is, you should always notice she's beautiful. She should be wearing pajamas or, you know, jeans, and she should be beautiful. Like, it's, to me, why is it that, oh, she's wearing a beautiful evening gown and all of a sudden you notice her beauty? Like, she has to be dressed up with makeup on for you to notice she's beautiful. And like, to me, like, yeah, she, maybe there is something to say about her being on stage and kind of having the confidence that she doesn't normally have. Someone having confidence is certainly an attractive quality.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that Joey loves you for you, and you should love Joey for Joey, not who she performs as on a stage to get money for college, right? Like, that's the frustrating part about this.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally on the same page with you. I totally agree. Like, he says that, like, you know, like, oh, it's so weird. Like, I'm sitting next to my best friend and my palms are sweating.
Yeah.
It's like, he says, I've known you forever, and for the first time I've seen you tonight, and he says, and then she goes, like, and then, shocking but amazingly, she goes, there's something not right about this. And I was like, holy fuck, like, does this show from 1998, is this really going here, where a character is so smart and so, like, puts value in herself as a 16-year-old girl, is she really stopping this? Because this is incredible. I mean, I'm telling you, I laughed this episode. I cried this episode. I was cheering. I watched this episode, this scene, twice, and I cried both times. And call me an emotional wreck. Call me a Pisces. I don't fucking care. But the fact that this girl has enough dignity within herself to say, this isn't right.
Yeah.
The dresses aren't her. And like,
it's just lipstick,
you know,
and hairspray. And I love that line.
This whole line, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I can read it quickly.
No, go ahead.
I mean, okay. I thought this is what I wanted, for you to see me as beautiful, for you to look at me the way that you look at Jen. But the truth is, that's not what I want at all. I want you to look at me and see the person that you've known and realize that what we've had is so much more incredible than just some passing physical attraction. Because you know what? It's just makeup. It's just hairspray. And tomorrow we'll be back. I'll be back to just being Joey. Just Joey. The too tall girl that lives on the wrong side of the creek. This bitch, like, really did this. And I wrote in my notes, this is the best moment of my life. Like, and then Dawson says, like, we should talk about this. Like, we can't go back to the way things were. And Joey's like, You've had a lifetime to process your feelings for me, and I can't spend the rest of mine hoping that you might throw a general glance in my direction between your tortured teen romances with whatever Jen Lindley rolls into your life next. And then this bitch gives back his jacket and walks away.
Yep.
It's like, fuck yes.
Yeah,
this is what we wanted for Jen.
Like, this is what we wanted for Jen. Like, we want the confidence and the self-assurance and the moment to realize, like, just because a guy likes you and maybe you had feelings for him doesn't mean it's the right moment for you two to be together. And the fact that it took this long for him to realize that Joey is more than just, like, the tomboy who lives on the wrong side of the creek, like, I'm happy that she gets the indication that, like, shit, wait, why is he just saying this now? Why did it take this long for him to say that? And also, I do think...
just because she put on some fucking lipstick
and hairspray. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I also think it should be concerning to her, and I don't know if this kind of ran through her mind, that, like, she's not a rebound girl. Like, I'm sorry, but it's only been 5 creek weeks since Dawson and Jen broke up. Like, it's not the time. Like... If there's a time for them to be together, right? Relationships aren't just about loving somebody. Like, it's it's timing, too. Like, timing isn't always there for people, right? And so, like, I just think, like, you and I are both, like, just, like, so proud of Joey for being the person that we kind of hoped Jen was. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I know myself. I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have been the Joey. I wouldn't have been the Joey. I would have said, I might have thought it for a second, but never in my wildest dreams or, like, unfortunately, I would not, especially at that age, been like, you know, like, you aren't seeing me for me. I would take it and run with it and be like, this is what I've wanted and, you know, screw my self-worth because it's what I think I want or I've wanted. I've wanted this for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know myself. Like, I wouldn't have been that girl. Like, I mean, you have, I hope that you, for you, that you would, but I know I wouldn't have.
I honestly, I think at age 15, I think knowing me, the person that you know me, nearly 30-year-old me now, I definitely would have been the Joey in the moment, right? 15-year-old me, I don't think so. I think I don't think I had the self-confidence. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I don't think I had the self-confidence that I do now to, like, sniff out the bullshit, if that makes sense. Like, maybe in my brain it would have been like, is this right? But I don't know that I necessarily would have acted on those feelings as much. But that's why it's so impressive, right? Because, like, you're a teenager. There's a lot going on. Someone you had a lot of feelings for and is your best friend and is finally admitting these feelings for you. And it's hard to say no to that. And that's why it's so impressive. Yeah. And, like, I totally agree with you. I love Joey in this moment. This is why this episode is particularly iconic beyond the whole pageant and the singing and all of that. It's a very iconic
moment. I know. And I honestly, I really didn't anticipate it. I was watching
that scene. And that's good that it surprises you, you know?
Yeah. I was watching the scene cringing because I was like, this feels so hollow and so wrong. And, like, my initial thought was, there's no way she's going to reject his advances. There's no way.
Yeah.
And she did. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it because it's so good. And I messaged you after I finished this episode. I was like, I think Dawson's Creek is my new favorite show. I'm impressed by it. I'm very impressed. And, yes, of course, I want Jen to be as strong as Joey in these moments. But, I mean, for whatever reason, her character is not there right now. And then I like how in the end of the episode we have, like, Dawson. I think Dawson and Joey are both thinking about their night and how things went. And Dawson's probably still shook because he had a big day. But I love how Joey is in the mirror. And I honestly think, like, she's looking in her mirror and she, like, pulls up her hair and she smiles. And I don't think it's because she's thinking about Dawson. I'm thinking it's because she finally sees herself as beautiful.
I think so, too. I'd like to think that. Yes, I agree. I'd like to think that that's what she's thinking in the moment. For right now, we obviously don't really know the answer to that question. But I agree. Yeah. If we're looking at this optimistically, I would agree that that's how I would like to look at that scene. And I'm interested to see where things go from here. Let's get out the question that I always ask you next episode. It's called Decisions. What do you think that means for the show?
Decisions.
Yes.
Obviously, everybody has to make decisions on where they're going forward. I think that Dawson, it's time for Dawson to choose between Joey and Jen. I think Joey has to decide, like, is she going to still be, like, lingering with feelings with Dawson? I feel like it's going to be pretty hard for her to lose those feelings that she's had for years and years overnight. So I'm sure she's probably, in, like, really agonizing over that. And then, I don't know. I don't know what decisions Pacey's going to make. Maybe Pacey's going to decide if he's leaving the old Witter house or what he's up to. But
yeah,
I think that this is going to be a very relationship-based episode for our final episode of season one. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I know. It's crazy. It snuck up on us, I think.
It really did, especially because I didn't know
it was so short.
It was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Do we want to get into the sassy sayings and notable 90s song and then feedback then fashion hour.
Okay.
Sassy saying, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's when Pacey and Jen are watching Dawson watch Joey. And Pacey says to Jen, is it the possibility of losing him to someone else that suddenly makes him attractive? And I was like, Pacey's fucking calling a spade. Like, yep. I loved this line.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal. My sassy saying is, you think I'm such a barking car chaser that D-Stoon with a Julius Caesar haircut has a better shot than me. And that was Joey to Dawson in regards to her, mm-hmm. Being in the pageant.
Yes.
I just love a D student with a Julius Caesar haircut.
Yeah, like, I think hilarious. You messaged me that and you were like dying at
it. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a good line. For
She's great.
Notable 90s song, the only song I like somewhat recognized, but I couldn't have told you like the name or the artist. It was a song called Goldfinger by Superman. And it was a song like during the pageant that played. Nothing more notable than that, though.
No, I didn't really recognize. I think they're putting all the money into next episode. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like 8 extremely notable 90s songs in the next episode. Yeah. And they're just like saving it for the final episode. Yeah. So, but yeah, I agree. Nothing too notable. Yeah.
Did we have any feedback for this episode?
We have some feedback, girl. Yeah. We got some feedback. You guys were good to us this week.
Love it.
Yes. So, at Dirtbag Kelly writes, thanks very much for reading my previous email. The rehash definitely cleared up my one question, and that was what me, Sarah, knows and does not
right,
know in regards
on.
To spoilers. Yeah. I would say you're still very much unspoiled on things, which excites me for the future of the pod. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then if anybody doesn't want to know about spoilers in regards to what we touched on last week, like earmuffs and just like go forward 30 seconds. They said, sucks that you know about the Mitch thing, so it won't hit as right as it should be. But to be fair, it is just Mitch.
that's great.
I would say, but I think it probably will hit me. If anybody doesn't know, I haven't talked about it on our Dawson's Creek pod, but I lost my father when I was only 19. So, and I'm a water sign that loves to cry. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty confident it will hit me in the way it's meant to. So, Dirtbag Kelly continues, I was curious if Jess could clear up if she knows anything about the whole Dawson, Pacey, Joey friendship. I was always kind of confused on when Pacey shows up. I assume they all grew up together, but I feel like that doesn't track with what we know. I don't think it's hit upon. So he wants to, they want to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know that we ever get like flashbacks or anything that talk about how they all kind of became friends. Mm-hmm. I always assumed that Joey and Dawson have always been friends, like since like pretty much childhood. And I assumed that like Pacey and Dawson became friends, like maybe he had one class with Joey and another class with Pacey. And so like when he wasn't near Joey, he had Pacey to keep him company type of thing.
I think I think in the last episode or the episode before, I think that they said that they've been friends for 3 years. Pacey Dawson. And Dawson.
Okay, that tracks. I mean, that'd be like them going into middle school and like that becoming
exactly.
Friends.
So that's what Dirtbag Kelly says. I assume probably Pacey shows up in middle grade.
I think
school,
that makes sense because when usually you have like one best friend, but then when you get into classes without that best friend, well, you have to make other friends. So I think that makes sense. Yeah, that tracks.
Was pretty excited for this episode because I remember the Pacey arc in this one. So interested in hearing your takes. So here it goes. Was the current theme song always in the show at the beginning here, or did they scrub the original? Oh, okay. So this is a really good question that I noticed actually. So in the beginning of the scene, we didn't talk about this, but like in the bug sex scene.
Oh, the bug sex. Yeah. It, like,
they started playing our current theme song.
I think they just plugged that in. Like, I think it would have been on a one-away.
So do you think that the original theme song was at the
end? I think so, yeah.
Okay.
That's my guess. So this song is like, no, I think they just did that on the back end.
Yeah. Dirtbag Kelly loves Pacey calling out Dawson.
Yeah, we love it too.
Also, they realized that Jen and Joey totally skipped the lunch line, which Joey hates when people skip the lunch line.
What a hypocrite, that Joey, that Josephine Potter.
Yeah, and then, like, also the fact that, like, Joey is literally filling out the form in front of Dawson, and Dawson's like, why are you guys here? Like, what are you doing, Jen? Are you, like, signing up for the pageant?
Yeah.
Hannah sucks. We agree. Dawson is always making everything about him. CNN, really, Dawson?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only reason he like wants Pacey to be involved is for that reason. Yeah, we said that too.
Yeah, CNN does not want Dawson.
No one gives a fuck, Dawson. No one cares about
Pacey,
your tiny town.
Really wants. Yeah, Pacey really wants to get that one vote away from Hannah. That was great. Pacey dropping more truth bombs. Mm-hmm. Hannah sucking again. We love that. And then, Pacey, don't waste your time being nice to Hannah.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that. Like, what is Hannah doing here? Like, we don't care about Hannah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Go away, Hannah.
Yeah.
And then one last thought from Kelly. Okay, just curious when you think Jen will turn things around on her character, because she's been on a nosedive of late. I don't remember her being this bad. Anyways, keep up the good work, ladies. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly, so much. We really appreciate your feedback. Not to spoil anything, I don't remember like exactly the timeline of things. My gut instinct says it's going to get worse before it gets better. That is my gut instinct.
Fuck.
But I could be wrong about that. I know that I've seen the whole show, but I can't say to you like, oh, this is so-and-so storyline from season two. And this, you know what I mean? So that's my gut instinct saying that. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. Time will tell.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the feedback, Kelly. And thank you for tweeting at us, too. I've really enjoyed your feedback.
Shit90spod@gmail.com if you all want to get in on the action.
Shit90spod@gmail.com. Next email is from our friend Stefan. Hey, ladies. Deja vu. Joey and Jen talking about being friends, doing it for an episode and then forgetting it ever happened. Why is this? Like, we've been going through this like over and over again. Do you want to be friends? Here's my ice cream.
Literally. Like, this is the will they won't they of the show. This is the will they won't they. Will they won't they be friends? It's so stupid. Like, be friends or not. Please make a decision.
I know. Next thought. Did Katie Holmes just utter the line, I'm not pretty. I can't watch this show anymore.
That is ridiculous. It is preposterous to me.
She's gorgeous. She's so pretty that I can't. It's. I mean, honestly, she's
pretty. She's gorgeous.
Like,
we know it. Come on.
Perfect body. Perfect face.
Yeah.
Different with her hair.
I do get the insecurity about like being like tall and lanky. Like I can get that how someone would be insecure about that, especially in high school.
Yes.
Like you want girls want boys to be taller than them is like a thing.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. But yeah, no, it is preposterous.
Yeah. Please tell me a beauty contest is not what gets Dawson to look at Joey differently. It is.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate.
Too bad,
and
so
we
sad.
Hate this
That's
life. Stefan thinks that Pacey should have won the contest. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought Roberta did a good job. I don't know. I liked Roberta. I think she was fine. I think that there was no way in hell Pacey was ever going to win that. Like, we all know it, right? So, yeah.
The singing was interesting.
That's what we thought.
He ends the email saying, yeah, Joey, you go, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. In regards to...
We feel the same way, yeah.
Yep. We feel the same way. Spectacular. Yep. We have... Andra tweeted us and say, fun fact, I've never heard On My Own before this episode. Immediately after, I searched for the lyrics and proceeded to sing in the shower for years to come. One of my favorite Dawson's episodes and moments.
We love that.
We love it. I've known this song forever as a Broadway lover, and it's always... It's just like that song.
It's that song, it's yeah. That it's like defying, song. What is it, defying gravity or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. You got the name right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at
you. No, it's fine. We know that I don't know anything about Broadway. I know a lot about Broadway Hamilton stop. Now because I love Hamilton.
Yep. You really do. Okay. So our friend Cheeky Hobbit writes to us. Ah, the infamous beauty contest episode, an absolute season one classic. Joey and Jen bonding, Pacey being charming, Dawson getting rejected. So many good things to enjoy. Oh my God. Those are some of my favorite things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is true.
That's why we love it so much. Dawson gets rejected.
There's also, of course, the absolute murder of On My Own, which continues to be a blot on Katie Holmes's career.
Oh, no. I'm glad we're all on the same page, at least.
I get why they chose the song thematically, but yikes. I still love Joey, but it's not one of her finest moments. I guess the judges liked it, though. I would love to hear more on it being a blot on Katie Holmes's career. Is this like a known thing? Like, is this like something that
she's embarrassed by? I don't think it's like a known. I mean, maybe it's a known thing. I didn't necessarily like remember that it was this bad because I was a kid when I watched it, you know? I don't think
Cheeky
so.
Cheeky Hobbit, message us and let us know like
if it's legit, you know, like
she's like had interviews about this or like something.
Yeah.
She continues, I like how neither of our protagonists win the pageant. That feels appropriate for the show. Yep. And I love that Joey and Jen aren't pitted against each other, but are given the opportunity to be friends. Finally, I do think that's a great point. Like, they could have easily had it Jen versus Joey, like I guessed. And I'm glad that it didn't come to that.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel bad for Pacey, but I think at this point, the writers have given up on their original concept for who Pacey is and just started writing for Joshua Jackson, as they should.
1,000%. He's a lot different of a character than he originally was, and for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost at season one finale. Loving the podcast. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you so much.
Guys, I really love emails. I don't think we can overstate how much we love getting emails. So please send more in.
Oh, yes.
shit90spod@gmail.com or tweet at us @shit90spod. Instagram also @shit90spod.
Yes. This was such a great episode. And I think that it makes sense why we got so much feedback for this episode. Because
it's iconic.
You know, it seems to be iconic. I don't know compared to other episodes, but it seems extremely iconic for me. So I just love the feedback. Yes. So yeah, at shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram and shit90spod@gmail.com if anybody wants to send in additional feedback for our last episode of season one. Mm-hmm.
Coming up. Shall we get into the fashion hour?
Absolutely.
All right. So for the Rachel Green Award, which is the most 90s outfit, we have three options here. Honestly, this episode didn't really, considering it was a pageant, didn't really impress me with the outfits too much. But we have Pacey first. I believe this was like kind of in like the opening scene or like his first scene of the episode, I should say. He's wearing a zip up sweatshirt that is kind of like a burnt orange with a tan stripe across the top, a horizontal stripe. And then the top part is more like a brown color. And I believe he's wearing cargo pants, a bit tough to tell, but it looked to me like it had a lot of pockets. So that is why I think it's cargo pants.
So, yeah, like, I do like this. I think that it looks pretty comfy. I think that it's fine. It's fine. Like, there's nothing, like, it's not too bad. Like, I think it's age appropriate. I think that it's something that, you know, showcases his Julius Caesar haircut really well. And I think that it is something that looks 90s because of the stripes and the color blocking. Yeah. So, pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. Next up, we have this pageant bitch's outfit. Do you know her name? Mm-hmm. Do you know which one this is? I don't know who this is.
No, I don't know who this is, but this is the one that answers the questions really dumbly, right?
Yeah, and she's wearing, like, a black dress with, like, fucking sequins for days. It has, like a sheer aspect at the top, but it looks like it's strangling her. It's black with, like, sparkles. She has these gaudy-ass earrings that are massive. Her hair is, like, pulled up in an updo, and she has kind of spermy eyebrows.
Yes. I mean, this is a pageant dress. Yeah, like, girl. She has, you know, very eleganza, very, like, sparkly. It has that, like, high neck and, like, the, like, see-through element to it. And, yeah, like, it's, in terms of, like, 90s, it is not, like, a modern pageant dress because it has, like, you know, I think it probably has shoulder pads. I'm seeing something over in that element. Maybe. But,
yeah,
it isn't, it's not very modern. It has, like, a lot of, like, Baroque detailing to it. And she's, like, a very vapid, horrible human being. Yeah. So,
I don't like her.
Love that for her.
And lastly,
no,
for
I don't.
Lastly, for this category, I waffled with where to put this outfit, but ultimately I landed on the Rachel Green Award for Joey, or nomination, I should say, for Joey in her pageant outfit. She's wearing a long pageant dress. It's brown, but it has these kind of like this pattern, kind of like a doily pattern, honestly. And it kind of looks...
Stop with the doily!
But it's not doily, but it kind of... You know what I mean? Like a florally...
It's damask. It's damask.
Okay, this bitch
it's
has the words. Damask. It's damask. And it looks kind of like velvety, and it has spaghetti straps, a deep V for the front, and...
It has like a cow neck, almost.
Yeah, kind of cowly deep V-necks, and then it crisscrosses in the back with a lot of back exposed. Her hair is wrapped up in it. What do you call that? It's called something like a roll,
a French twist.
French twist. There you go. And pretty necklace on with like maroon beads on the front. And her makeup, especially, I thought was very 90s because she has like a brown eyeshadow, kind of like a browny red lip, lot of blush. And yeah, what do you think of Joey's pageant look?
I think it's spectacular. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, and it is very 90s, but it doesn't look too dated. So it has like a very 90s silhouette with it being like very slinky and close to the body. So it has like a very like straight silhouette and the crisscross.
Yeah.
And so I think it looks great on her. Like, I really do. I think the dress was made for her. I never got to really see like a full body outfit, which
it's very frustrating. Yeah.
Because this show loves its close-ups.
It really
and
does.
It's like, that's horrible for fashion. Like, I need to see, like, does this go to the floor? Does
what
it
are the
cut
shoes?
Out, like, her calf?
Yeah.
I want to know her shoe situation. Yeah. So, it's pretty frustrating. But from, like, the hips up, I love it. I like the crisscross. She has, I mean, she's, like, a 5'10", like, thin, beautiful young girl.
Yeah.
So, there's, like, she can wear a sack and she would make it look elegant.
Yeah.
But for me, obviously, this week, I think the win has to go to Joey. I think that, and it's, guess what? It's not because she put on different makeup and she did her hair. It's because she's feeling herself.
Yeah. And it's also a beautiful dress. Like, you can't deny that.
It's a beautiful dress. I like it. I like it a lot.
Moving on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. Honestly, there weren't a ton of contenders here. I have two options here for you tonight. I have Jen's, like, I'm going to help Joey with a balance a book on her head outfit. It's kind of just like a simple maroon, like Henley type of heavier sweatshirt-y sweater. Typical blonde hair side part. You know, straight down. She kind of has like a peachy salmon lipstick on, and like more of a light wash jean with maybe a little bit of like zhuzhing on the upper thigh, I don't know what that's called, when, like, distressed, like, mm-hmm. kind of thing on the top part of the thigh. What do you think of Jen's outfit?
I like it. Like, it's a nice casual look. Jen, you know, it's kind of interesting because in the beginning of the season, Jen also wore, like, a ton of, like, girl next door dresses and, like, things that you can wear to church. And, like, for whatever reason, as the season goes and the meaner Jen gets and the worse she is, mm-hmm. the less, like, nice girl outfits, like, girl next door outfits she wears. Yeah. So I don't know if that's, like, a thematic choice.
We'll see.
I'm kind of interested. Yeah. But, I mean, it's, like, a casual look for her, and I like the shirt. Like, I can totally see myself wearing it now. The wash of the jean is decent, and, you know, it's just, like, a cash look for Jen. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Next up, I have Pacey's, what is it called when they...
Tuxedo?
Yeah, but tuxedo? No, I'm thinking of that...
Oh, evening wear.
Thank you. Pacey's uh-huh. evening wear. He's wearing a black, or is it blue? It kind of looks both. I think it's black.
It kind of looks both, but I think it's black.
I think it's black, well, yeah. Black tuxedo, black tie, very just like a classic, I'm going to a fancy event, except for the Julius Caesar hair, obviously. but yeah, I thought he looked quite debonair in this outfit.
I think he looks great. Like, it's really nice seeing Pacey dressed up. I mean, you gotta admit, he commanded the stage in
yeah.
this part of the show. Like, he was, like I said before, he was doing his spins, he was smiling, mm-hmm. like, he was, like, eating up the audience's, like, cheers for him. Like, he too was feeling himself. I thought that he looked great. I mean, a tuxedo is classic, and it's absolutely timeless, and, you know, I think that he looks wonderful, and I think it fits him well too. It doesn't yes. look like
oversized. It's not too big like a lot of the 90s stuff is.
Yeah, yeah. So I really like this look for Pacey. I think I'm going to give him the win this week.
Wow. Okay. So Pacey gets the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness, and Joey gets the Rachel Green Award. Congratulations, you two.
Mm-hmm.
We love it.
Yeah.
So coming up. Next week, we already kind of said we're talking season 1, episode 13, called Decisions.
We have a special guest.
Yes, we have a special guest next week. Navi is coming on to talk with us. I'm so excited.
Me too. Navi is so much fun. And I've really been having a good time getting to know her on the Clubhouse. Jeez. And I was talking to her the other day. Mm-hmm. And she's just great. And she's such like an amazing presence. And she told me that she started watching Dawson's Creek with us.
Yes. So she's not going to have any spoilers or anything like that. And it's going to be fun mm-hmm. to get like a fresh take on the show. I think.
Yeah,
so.
I'm really excited about
fun
that.
Fun to finish out our season with Navi. Of course, as always, we're still doing Boy Meets World. Catch us there. Those podcasts release every Thursday. So keep an eye on your feeds for those. And we are rounding out Mary-Kate and Ashley March with one last podcast. Coming onto the podcast, we have the host of the Brazilian Dragon podcast, as well as his co-host for the Scooby-Doo shenanigans that are happening over there. Felipe and Kate are coming on to talk about Full House, specifically the Disney episodes from season 6. I believe it's episodes 23 and 24.
Yeah, it's the last two episodes of the season. It's a two-parter where they go to Disney.
Yes, and we're going to be talking, we're kind of going to talk all about Full House in general as well. So we'll put out a question thread, but obviously if you have any feedback, send that in, shit90spod@gmail.com. So excited to finish out the month with that. It's been a really, really fun month of podcasts for us, as long as like on the bonus content scale.
Yeah, yeah, it's been spectacular. Mary-Kate and Ashley March. We, you know, if you don't know or you haven't caught up yet, we had our 16 movie bracket with TikTok Nicole Horn. And then we did a general Mary-Kate and Ashley talk, also covering It Takes Two with Melissa Denny. And that was great. And I'm really excited to round it out with Felipe and Kate. It's going to just be a lot of fun.
We're really excited. And also, one other thing, if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps Theater, go give a listen. We put out a podcast. Sarah and I were on. We were guesting. And we talked about When Harry Met Sally. So go give that a listen. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great time. We, of course, would have loved to cover it on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, but, you know, we just couldn't. It took place in, or released in 89, and we have to have
rules
some sort
rules,
of standards.
People. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's everything, right? I mean, we have a lot going on.
Yeah, we have so much going on, so much coming in April. Definitely stay tuned. You know, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at shit90spod. Email us at shit90spod@gmail.com. If you would like, rate us a 5-star review on iTunes. That helps us a lot. Get us out there.
Yes.
We would greatly appreciate that. And aside from that, you know, follow Jessica and all of her shenanigans with community building. Can't forget that.
Yeah, still going strong with community building. Our next guest is going to be Shut Up Tim. So you know you're in for a good time when Shut Up Tim comes on your podcast. So keep your eyes on that podcast feed for that.
Yeah, I hope you have a shrektacular time.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Special thank you to JD for our amazing theme song. See you all later. Bye, everybody.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.